Thursday is a very good day to be talking to Joe Lores Odunzi. Thursday, of course, is Starfire with Hansina, which we heard this morning around 10. Always great to listen to Hansina. And Joe, my next guest, is in the fashion business here in Switzerland. She makes beautiful shirts. The shirts incorporate African fabrics with a stunning fitted Italian design. Jo is originally from the UK. She had a successful career with Roche Pharma before embarking upon a career in fashion. How did she do it? We're about to find out. Jo is my expat profile guest desk jockey this afternoon. Jo, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Tony.
We've been talking about hot and spicy food restaurants here in Switzerland on the program so far this afternoon. I thought Jo's well-travelled. She's got to have a bit of an idea. Have you got a favourite hot and spicy restaurant somewhere in Switzerland?
Well, you know, I'm from Basel in Switzerland, and there's an Indian restaurant called Jay's. Now, he does food originating from India, and it's really, really good.
What makes a curry really, really good in your opinion?
Well, often it has to be cooked, think that it's fried, which is bad for you, but that's when it starts tasting good. Often you get people making curries and it's like a syrupy custard sauce.
No.
Have to have a few drops of oil goblet on the top just to make sure you're getting your full cholesterol dosing. Then you know you're getting the real McCoy.
Just to make you feel like you're really travelling through India. Jo, where is home originally for you?
London. I was born in London, raised in London, went to school in Bristol, and then went to uni in London, then lived in London as a young professional before I came to Switzerland, and that was many moons ago.
How many moons ago? Because it's full moon at the moment. I think that's why people have been a little bit crazy the last couple of years. How many blue moons ago were it?
Well, to be more precise, let's say it's about 15 years ago, 1997.
Okay. So you would have been about five at the time. But I mean, you mentioned you grown up in London. It's an incredibly, I guess, dynamic place to live. What brought you to Switzerland originally? What attracted you here?
Work. Actually, I just finished my MBA. I started working for a pharma company in England. And then I saw this job advertised at Roche Pharma, which is the global headquarters of a huge company. I thought, I'll never get the job. You know what you do. You send your CV in. Yeah. Next thing you know, they're inviting for an interview. I thought, nice jolly to Basel. Why not? Because I didn't think I'd get the job.
Yes.
Next minute, they say, you've got the job. Here I am.
What were you doing for Roche Pharma?
So they employed me back then as a market analyst, somebody who does all the market research and all the number crunching for their brand. So how much money are we going to make from this brand, for forecasting, etc. Analyzing the brand compared to its competitors in the marketplace to see how much patient share we have. So that was what I was doing when I first joined the company.
What was the best thing about that job?
At the time, the travel. I got to go everywhere. And, you know, somebody else is paying, usually a business class seat. So I loved it. I loved the travel. I also loved the fact that I was working often with physicians that were at the top of their game. So you'd meet a physician in the US and he'd be the number one in the US. You'd meet another one in Austria, again, the number one in Austria.
Yes.
You'd go to China, it would be the same. And so you're mixing with really the creme of la creme. And it was really inspiring, actually, to get to know these guys and ladies, and some of them I'm still in contact with today.
Yeah, so why did you leave? I mean, you know, listening to you speaking right now, you've got a vibrant personality. You're obviously very good at what you did. You were mixing, you know, with the cream of the cream in the pharmaceutical and medical industry, and yet you've left that position. I can imagine it was a well-paying position as well, and you've started your own fashion design company. Why did you leave?
Why did I leave? Well, I made kind of a life choice because I have a son and a very young one. So I had a young son and I thought, you know, one week in Brazil, the next in, you know, New Jersey, you know, another one in Japan and Tokyo. I thought this just doesn't work with a little son at home. I felt very much drawn. And funnily enough, I thought career woman, I could handle it, but actually I couldn't. So I thought, you know, I'm going to try something else. I'm going to try to do something different. And, you know, I think I went through my sort of midlife crisis kind of moment. What do I want to do next? And I thought, I threw caution to the wind. And I thought, you know what? Out of the window with all this pharma business, let me try something completely new. And I racked my brain for quite a while. And then almost by chance, serendipity, should we say, one of my passions kind of like flew to the front of my mind. And that is, I have a passion for fabrics. And during my travels with Ross, I would always land in some city, I would go to the market and buy a fabric, whether it was India and Mumbai or whether I was in China and Shanghai, I would find a market wherever I was to just get some fabric. So I have a stash of these fabrics at home.
So you'd collected all of these fabrics in your travels and,
exactly.
and then had this epiphany, this light bulb moment where you thought,
exactly.
I'm going to turn some of these into some beautiful shirts. But they're shirts with a difference. They have an Italian inspired design about them.
Right. I mean, the way I worked on it was, I had all these fabrics. My sister bought me more fabrics, this African wax print, and she could do something with these. I was like, okay, what can I do? So I started playing around, and I made the clothing using all the fabric. I made clothing using partially some of the fabric, and eventually I found a spot where if I used a snippet of these exotic fabrics,
yes,
and I added it to what is similarly standard fabric from the West, you came out with something that went from really garish to stylish, literally.
Yes.
And then I thought, okay, that's my taste. I know I have enough style for myself and my husband, but I keep telling him. But do I have enough style to convince the public? So I asked my friends. They loved it. But your friends always love what you do.
Of course they do.
I said, okay, I'll go a little bit more anonymous, and I sort of asked them buyers. And buyers said, yeah, I really like the idea. You know, go for it. It's really interesting.
What did they like about them? You know, we'll give the name of your website so our listeners can have a look. But essentially, if you can imagine what is a classic Italian-inspired shirt that is the body of the shirt down to the arms, and then, as I recall, is it the collars?
Double cuffs.
The cuffs, the double cuffs are this ethnic
African wax
fabric. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the inside of the collar, and also the part where the button sits, just underneath where the button sits, is called a front placket, is also using the African fabric. So it's very decently placed. So it's not too loud. You know, if you imagine African wax fabric, it's a little bit loud, like Hawaiian shirts. If you go around with that in the daytime, you might blind people. However,
you won't need to turn the lights on, put it that way.
Exactly. So if you just take a little snippet of it and just use it really modestly, you can actually make shirts that are terribly bland look really quite stylish. And for me, as someone who was, you know, in the profession, I had a ton of shirts. And, you know, they were white, they were striped, but they were essentially very boring.
Mm.
And these shirts are such that each one is very different, and each one can be played a number of ways, so on black, on different colours, and it works quite well. So I designed the shirt. I then went to Italy looking for a manufacturer. Actually, I went all over the world looking for a manufacturer and then settled on Italy, but that's another story for another day. Settled on an Italian manufacturer, and the biggest challenge was finding a manufacturer that made small quantities.
Okay.
Because when you start off, you don't want to make 20,000.
Yes.
You want to make a small quantity, and most Italian manufacturers have a minimum order quantity, which is a dirty word in my book. And so they won't even meet with you if you say you don't want less than 10,000.
So you managed to find someone who would do a small order for you. And you mentioned before that the buyers said that they love them. What mm-hmm. did the manufacturer say? What are the buyers saying? How's it all going for you, Joe?
Okay, so I went down, met the manufacturer, and I had the Spanish or the Italian version of the Spanish Inquisition by the Italian manufacturing team. He wants to know who your target market are, how you're going to sell, what are these fabrics like, let's see a prototype. They want to see one that I made to make the judgment. Can we make it? And so we sort of went through a quite rigorous grilling process from my side, and then I sort of turned the table on them and then saw what their capabilities were. And they were also really enthusiastic because they saw what, you know, the potential was from the prototypes, and they thought, right, great. So they made me samples. The samples were literally almost perfect when they arrived. So I was really positive about that. And then, you know, went to manufacture. The shirts got delivered in Switzerland, and where is Bob's your uncle? Here I am.
Here you are.
You know, talking about them and selling them.
And how is it going for you, Joe? Have you had people stopping you on the street saying, hey, I like that shirt. Where did you get it? And
absolutely.
And you reach under your trench coat saying, would you like to buy one?
You know, there's nothing like being your own salesperson. And I wear my shirts all the time.
Yeah.
And what I found is I found people sort of eyeing me up. So when I'm in the business lounge with the BA at Heathrow Airport, you get a woman kind of looking at you. So I immediately go over and hand over my card and say, listen, this shirt.
You just hope they're looking for all the right reasons.
Yeah, I hope. So far, I think they have been.
Yeah,
so I have a number of customers that way.
Isn't that great? And Joe, would you say at this stage it's it's something that will continue to grow, that this is going to be a sustainable business that you'll be able to make a living from, to come back to your original motivation, which was to spend more time at home with your son.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be honest, what I said to myself was, I don't need to have all the bells and whistles that I got from Roche, you know, all the benefits. I just need to have something that's going to get me interested, keep my brain ticking, let me get out and socialize on a work kind of basis with other people, and allow me to have special time with my son. And it does all those things. You know, working on my own brand does all those things. It's in the beginning phase. It is sustainable. I'm pushing like heck to get it out there. And I'm seeing, you know, positive reaction.
Congratulations. You're doing a great job in obviously getting the message out there. I've taken a look at the website and seen the shirts. Are these for blokes as well? Are they for
only
men?
Only for women so far. It's interesting. A lot of gents have been asking me, when are you going
to
start with those?
I said,
listen, one step at a time.
got to sell that short order first.
Exactly.
Yeah, look, give the name of the brand, the name of the shirts to our listeners and the website as well, Joe. I'm sure there'll be a few people listening this afternoon who'll be interested to check them out, including my delightful colleague, Hansina, who hosts the Stylefile program every Thursday here on WRS. So what's the name and what's the website?
Brand name is called Reina de Santiago, which means the Queen of Santiago. And the address is www.reinadesantiago.com. ReinaDeSantiago.com.
Okay. Now, if our listeners missed that, they can give me a call here in the studio. I'll pass it on. I think I'll even pop it on Facebook or something like that, just so that there's a record there for our listeners to check that out. Reina, ReinaDeSantiago. ReinaDeSantiago.com. Okay. All the best with that, Joe. It's been delightful to speak with you this afternoon, and keep us in touch with the progress.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.